there, Mary. I have reviewed your draft of your learning activities assignment for Module 3, and I'm going to give you feedback on that assignment in this audio podcast. So, overall, you've done a great job of outlining and detailing the types of activities for your Latin course. I see very clearly the structure and the consistency from module to module, and the thought that you've put into organizing the materials. I know it's based on a textbook, and it's a language course, and so there are things tied to activities and things tied to the textbook, and some added complexities in actually teaching a language. So I am excited to see how this course evolves and to see how you end up transferring what you've done in this assignment into your course shell. So I'm going to go through module by module and just give you my thoughts and my comments and my suggestions as I go. So in module one, oh, and by the way, I just love how you have taken my advice about the module titles, and they are in Latin and engaging, and there's the translation right next to it, and then you have the week dates next to that, and so I like that quite a lot. I am not as clear about the titles of other things in your course, and so I just want to call that to your attention that that doesn't come out here in this assignment, and I just want to make sure that you are aware that as you move this stuff from this assignment into your course shell, that you need to pay particular attention to how you label things, and that would be sort of in the labels that you put on the sections of your module, as well as on the documents themselves, the assignments, the activities, the instructions. It shouldn't be, your discussion shouldn't be labeled discussion or interaction. Your icebreaker shouldn't be called icebreaker. You should give your activities meaningful and contextual names so that you can convey instructional cues and instructional information with with the titles, and give the students advanced organizers, and at the glance view of your sort of the outline of your course from that course map level, you're conveying instructional information and giving the students insight into you, into the content, into how you have chosen to chunk up the content of this particular course. And so how you label things is going to be very important, and I'll be able to give you more feedback on that once I see all of this stuff in your course. But please pay attention to how you label things. So again, your icebreaking discussion needs to have some contextual title. It shouldn't be icebreaker. That doesn't convey anything. It's more of a description of the type of activity, just like discussion is a description of a type of activity. So, you'll want to have that be, something that is more, representative of the content that's being discussed. So please introduce yourself, or using your metaphor, your Latin, carrying that forward from the module titles to some of the activities would be cool too. I'd like to understand better what you're doing in that particular discussion. I know it says that you're going to introduce yourself, but how are you going to guide that interaction? How are you going to set that up to be an authentic interaction? I mean, you know, is it just going to be, you know, I say some stuff about myself in a paragraph and then somehow or another I force myself to look at a couple of other people because that's what's required and to say something to them. That's not really an authentic interaction. I'm not really engaged in that. I'm doing it because I was told to, and hopefully you'll have a rubric that will also help people understand what you're looking for. But what I would suggest is that you pose some sort of a question that helps the students really authentically interact and engage with each other. So I'll let you think about how you might creatively do that. Now, the first thing I noticed, and I noticed this throughout your course, the first thing I noticed in your assignment section, you say that there are non-graded elements and graded elements. I completely strongly recommend that you get rid of that section that details what is graded and what's non-graded. First of all, there shouldn't be anything that you call non-graded. It's just essentially giving the students a pass to not do that particular activity. So really, honestly, if I know that that intro discussion is not graded and reading the course documents is also not graded, why would I do them? You know, I would even if you're not going to grade them, don't say that. Don't tell them that. What I have tried to tell you throughout this course is that every single thing that you have the students do in the course needs to have a companion mechanism for evaluation, assessment, and feedback. So you should have nothing in your course, including reading the course information documents, including reading the materials for the course, that doesn't have some mechanism that gives the student an understanding of the weight and value of that activity. And so if you have them read the course documents, if that is an activity in your course, how will you assess that? And it could be as simple as having a little self-test, a self-graded quiz, which I see that you have all throughout your course anyway, little self-test on the course information documents. It could, I mean, you could do it in other ways too, but that's one simple way to do it. The introductory discussion, why would you not count that at all? Why would you not use that activity for some instructional purpose? Now, this comes back to what are your objectives? What are your course learning objectives? What are the objectives of each module? And how do those objectives tie into your course learning objectives? What I've also tried to do in this course is to help you understand the formula for doing this. And if you follow the formula, it will work out. What are your course objectives? What are your module objectives that tie to your course objectives? What are the activities that you design to achieve those specific course module objectives? How do you assess, evaluate, or provide feedback on each and every one of those activities? That's the formula. What I see here is that you have a computer-graded quiz that is worth 20 points, and the quiz is, I'm not sure what the quiz is on actually in Module 1. Usually what you have is that I see expectations and procedures in the course, I see. So you are going to be testing them on their course information activities. So So you can't say that it's not graded because you actually are grading them with that self-test or that quiz that you're having them do. Anyway, I just want to, you know, state as strongly as I can to you that that it's not a good idea to say that stuff is not graded, and that you use mechanisms that you have available to you to provide engaging feedback different types of assessments and evaluations of the student contributions in the class. Okay, let's go on to module two. So your modules follow a real regular sort of systematic, consistent structure. You have them read chapters in the textbook. They are learning Latin grammar, and they are learning some about culture. And in module two, they're learning about ancient Rome and about dress. You start out generally with a vocabulary list and a story that they listen to and follow along in the textbook, and then you ask them to try and translate the story before reading the provided translation. And so my question to you is, that's an activity. How do they demonstrate to you that they have attempted to translate the story before reading the provided translation? Where is the artifact that they produce that is that attempt? And if there isn't one, then you know, I'm just not really, I mean, I would recommend getting rid of it. There is no way for you to know that they've done it. There is no way, there's no incentive for them to actually do it. And so it's just like filler. And so I would suggest that you get rid of it unless you actually have them produce an artifact. Now, the question would be, obviously, you know, what's to say if you make them do it that they're not going to check out the provided translation? And so you need to question whether or not that activity is authentic or not, and how you could make it more authentic. So maybe it's in the phrasing of the instructions. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm going to let you think about that a little bit, and then we'll see how it ends up in your course. You have them complete some exercises and check their own work. I'm not sure what that means. I don't know if that means that you create some self-tests for them. If you're expecting them to do that on their own, that doesn't make sense to me. If you're asking them to do something, it should be in the course, and there should be some artifact that documents that they've completed that activity, and that then you can assess in some way. Okay, so then you're going to have them read the meaning section and complete some exercises and check their own work, and then complete a short quiz on nouns and adjectives and verbs. And I assume that that's on something that you've set up online. So, you know, I guess I would challenge you to think more creatively about the things that you're having the students do, to really think about the environment that you're in. I mean, if you were in the classroom, you would be able to sit there and have them do those exercises, and they would be sitting right there, and so you'd be able to sort of guide that activity. But online, you know, like I said, what's the incentive to complete any work on their own if they don't have to demonstrate to you any artifact or that they've done anything. And so I am seriously questioning these activities. You know, you have to think about the environment that you're in, and you have to think about what your learning objectives are. Is one of the objectives that they be able to use the vocabulary, that they be able to understand that vocabulary and use it in some way? I mean, I'm not entirely sure what the, you know, how extensive the vocabulary list is and how complex it would be for them to use that vocabulary in some other way. But I'm just going to put it to you to really think about what it is that you're doing and what you're asking them to do, and what advantages you can take with the environment that you're in, and leveraging those features and functionality of the online environment in ways that are, you know, that are different or more creative, or that allow the students to make their learning or their engagement with your content visible to you, and make their learning clear to you, that they can demonstrate their learning to you. So let's go on to the discussion here, because your modules are essentially the same from module to module. You have them read about Roman life, and these are chapters in the book, and then you're asking them to participate in a discussion comparing a typical ancient Roman family and dress to our modern way of life by researching and sharing a related fact not in the book, and explaining how the student thinks this culture has changed or stayed the same over the years, constructing your own questions to fellow students to further the discussion. You are really thinking this through, and I appreciate that. I really see what you are articulating to yourself. You want them to get a sense of the culture. You want them to talk about how things were in the ancient Roman family, and to think about their dress and what has come forward. What influences can we still see in modern life based on ancient Roman culture? And I love that you're having them, look for research and share something that's not in the book. I love that. That's a definite engaging activity. And then you're asking a thought question, how they think that the culture has changed. And you're really thinking about the way that the student's response to this will encourage further interaction and further engagement with their classmates. So that all is really, really good. The issue is that I don't know what the question is, and it's not really a question. It's more like instructions for a written assignment, or instructions for a short essay. So compare and contrast, they're going to come back to you with mini essays or essays on this. And I don't see, in spite of the fact that you're aware of and are trying to get them at the end to ask a question that will then, that you're hoping will then support student-to-student interaction, I'm just not sure how, feels a little contrived and artificial to me. And so what I want you to do is really think about a question that you might have that might be a little controversial, that might be a little provocative, that is more open-ended, that gets the student to think about the influence of ancient Rome, and it could be on dress and on family life, in modern days, in modern time, and see if there's a question that you can come up with. I mean, this is the hard work of an online course. This is the creative part. And you know, in my opinion, kind of the fun part is trying to figure out, you know, what you can ask, what questions you can ask that will engage the students in exploring the topic, the content, themselves, making them relate it to, you know, something that is important to them, or asking them to research something. I think that you have, you know, the elements here. I just don't, it just doesn't feel like a discussion yet. Quite yet. I think you need to refine the question itself. So I'm going to leave that with you to think about and see what you can do with. You're having them again read more, review vocabulary, read another story, translate it. Complete some exercises, again, checking their own work, and completing a short assignment on subjects, verbs, linking verbs, and complements. I'm wondering what that assignment is. You know, is that something you create in Moodle, or is it something you're having them do in their book? So they have another story in chapter 3. And they're doing a short translation assignment. So, you know, I guess that's going to be a written assignment. And they're going to turn that into you. And so, I mean, it's hard to tell based on what I have here. I'll wait to see how you lay this all out in your course. You know, I need to see rubrics. I need to see instruction documents. I need to see instructional cues. I need to see, you know, how these assignments are collected. Are they collected individually to you and you know, turned in just to you, or are they visible to all the students to look at? Are there rubrics? All of that stuff. And so there's a lot of stuff there that I, without seeing, you know, further, it's hard to give you feedback on. All right, so in this module, the discussion on Roman life, family, dress, and you're saying that it's going to be open, you know, you're telling them that they are need to post it by a certain date, and it'll be open to the end of the module, and they have to respond to two others, and all of that is good. I see, yeah, you are using a rubric. Again, you have non-graded activities. I would just totally get rid of that. I mean, why not put exercises 1A through 3B into Moodle and have them complete them online as a self-assessment? Why not? That way, you know, they can do it. It's a self-assessment, so it really helps to support their own sense of self-efficacy and their sense of self-regulation. They can check their understanding. the textbook presumably is pointing them to the important bits of the stuff that you've had them review in the textbook, and so then it's a more authentic activity. You're going to grade them on their discussion with the rubric, and they have to turn in those written assignments for chapters 1 through 3. So that all looks pretty good. In Module 3, again, you're covering a number of chapters. There's grammar, and then the cultural part is reading about myths, slave market, and looking at a Roman villa. You know, I just wonder, you're tied to the textbook, which I totally get. It's a language course, which I also totally get. There's grammar, there's pronunciation, there's translation, there's vocabulary, there's a cultural aspect to this. But I'm wondering, you know, where, if there is an opportunity for you to let the students have some options in how they demonstrate their learning to you. So with the grammar and with the vocabulary, couldn't you have them, you know, have them come up with some kind of an activity that demonstrates that they've learned it, and maybe tie that into, you know, some, you know, aspect of the cultural thing, a learning objective that you're going for. But have them do it in a way that is relevant and interesting and engaging to them. You know, maybe, I mean, I don't know, there's all different kinds of ways that they could do things with that content, with the material, and I mean, I know you don't, you may not want to leave it completely open-ended. You might want to have some structure to it, but I'm just wondering if there's any way that you could let the students think about how they could use the grammar piece, the vocabulary piece, the and the cultural piece to come up with something, you know, that might not necessarily be written. I mean, it could be audio, it could be video, it could be a combination that helps them to more authentically engage with the content and produce something, construct something that has meaning for them, and that helps them to build meaning and understanding of the concepts of the grammar, of the vocabulary, and of the culture. Again, I mean, Chapter 5, they're reading, they're translating, they're listening, they're checking their work, they're completing exercises, and they're doing that in Chapter 6 and in Chapter 7 as well. The discussion is on Roman life and the slave market and the Roman villa. I don't know what the question is, so it's hard to say, you know. I mean, the real work, the real stuff of the course is in the crafting of that discussion, and whether or not it will actually be a discussion depends on how you design the question. So I want you to really think about that as you move this into your course shell. Module 4... again, is you know, just really repeating the same the same structure as the other modules. In this one, you're going to be talking, you ask them to compare the gods and goddesses in ancient Rome to our modern religions by researching and sharing a related fact not in the book. I like it and I'm not sure about it at the same time. The part I like is that they have to share the related fact not in the book. But when you say compare the gods and goddesses to modern religion, that's not a discussion, that's a essay written assignment. But by adding that little bit of sharing a related fact not in the book, and the rest of it there, you know, how things have changed or stayed the same, and construct your own questions to further the discussion. It might work. I'm gonna wait and see how you actually translate that into your course. All right. So module 5. Here's where you introduce the final project. And this is due at the end of the course, but this is where they begin. And I love this activity. I love it because it actually asks them to apply what they've been learning. They get to choose. There's choice. They get to choose a poem or a story or lyrics or something to translate into Latin. I just totally love that. And then you ask them to explain how and why they chose the grammar, and then their actual translation. They have to give you the original English, and you're telling them at least 250 words. It's great. So you say begin this project in module 5, and it'll be due in module 6. So that's too nebulous. You need to ask them to produce something that you can then check and give feedback on. So why don't you have a space in there, you know, that everyone can see, where they tell you, they identify, they don't do the work, but they tell you, this is the song I'm going to do, this is the poem I'm going to do, these are the lyrics I'm going to translate, and they simply post those so that you can help them, milestone them, step them through the process. If you don't have them identify that in module 5, they're not going to do it until a few days before November 18th. And so you're setting them up, you know, do things at the last minute. So, you know, if you want them to begin in module 5, if you want them to begin that activity, give them something to complete then. And then think about what the next step is. You know, maybe you want a draft, at the beginning of module 5, you know, like in the first 2 weeks or whatever. I'm not sure what the time frame is, but give them a deadline for when they have to identify the piece that they're going to translate. Then give them a time to submit a draft, and then give them another time to submit the whole final package. The other thing I was going to ask you was, how does this get submitted to you? And my very strong recommendation would be that this be submitted so that everyone in the class can see it, not just you, and that there be some activity that you wrap around that, where the students can view each other's stuff and maybe peer assess each other, or at the very least, you know, have some discussion around it. You know, I might also suggest that it be some sort of formal presentation, that you give them some freedom and some latitude to present their translation in a way that they might want to. What if they want to record themselves reading the translation, either as an audio or as a video. What if they want to create an animation of some cartoon character reading the translation that they've done? There are some very cool tools that will actually animate with everything, including voice. You just type in, the words, and the characters animate and say the words. So, I mean, there are a lot of really interesting, engaging ways that students could present their projects to you, and if they have the freedom to choose different ways of demonstrating that learning to you, that presentation of that project to you, it makes it that much more engaging for them than, just writing 250 words and giving you the link to the original or copying and pasting the original. So you also have a module 6 is your goodbye module. That's where they are turning in their final projects. And I again, it's interesting you say that you have it due on at midnight. And you're explicit about that. And I would suggest that unless you're going to correct their assignments at 12:01, that you not put the time frame on there. And that you have a little bit of leeway on there. You think about when things are due and what time you ask them to be due. So that it makes some sense to the from the student perspective. You're using the discussion module to fine-tune the final project. You want them to post questions that they might have and answer other students' questions. So, what questions do you think that they might have, and what questions might they ask of each other? I'm just not sure how authentic that is, and how real that's actually gonna be. And so, it's not passing, my gut check test here. I don't see that activity working at all. I mean, if I would ask them, what does learning Latin, what relevance does that have in your life? Why did you choose to study Latin? How are you going to use this in your life? What purpose does it serve to study, an old dead language? What do you gain? What insights do you gain? What benefit do you get from the study of language or Latin? How are you going to use this in your life? How have you benefited from this? What did you learn? How do you know you learned it? Something that makes them really think and really interact and really engage. Internally, so that they really have to think about it, and then externally with each other. That discussion right there will tank, for sure. So you need to think about that. I don't see your class community module. I don't see where you will have your announcements. I don't see ask a question areas or talk with the professor areas. I don't see a place where the students can interact socially. Your agora. I don't see your suggestion box. And I don't see the place where you will be collecting descriptive feedback from your students. You need to look at the course manual and look in there for the culminating activity. I think it's called descriptive feedback. And it's an actual form, 10 or so questions. It's not, you can't have it open-ended. It's not like, what did you like best about this course? What did you like least? It's not that, it's more specific than that. And you need to ask very specific questions to get detailed feedback back. This is not a course evaluation, not an instructor evaluation. It's really asking the students for specific feedback that you then can really use to revise and improve your course. Okay, so overall, Mary, you've done a great job. You have thought this through very well. It's very consistent. It's very logical. You're following a textbook. You have things very well organized. You are, this is going to translate well into your course shell, and I'm really looking forward to how you label things and how you actually set all of the instructions up and detail out the activities in your course shell, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it, and I'm very glad to have a language being represented in this course, because they are qualitatively different in nature than other soft social science type courses. Math courses are also different. Any skill type course is different. And so I'm very happy to have you here in the course representing language teaching and language learning. So good job.